Ezra chapter 1. On the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed to me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among all of his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem. And every survivor, at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem." Let's pray. Awesome, Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to be able to be with your saints. It's been an awesome camp, and I pray that the name of Jesus continues to be glorified, that we would encourage one another, that we would edify one another, that we would build one another up, so that we would be the most effective spiritual warriors that we can be for you. In Jesus' awesome name I pray, amen. As I mentioned, Mark Miller did some great work on this, and he really he showed us how worship is going on in glory to our Lord, that temple has been raised up. What I want to talk about this morning is the fact that the Lord wants his temple built. It is his temple, okay, and he's building it, but he's working together with us to get that temple built. The Lord is constructing a temple made up of living stones. It's not a physical temple, but rather a spiritual temple that is being put together. Throughout the ages, he left us foreshadows of the temple. We know which one was really the important one, which one really came first, if you will. But if we look throughout the Old Testament, we see that the Lord wanted his temple built. We see here in the book of Ezra, we see that he sent him to build the temple. And the goal or the mission of the people at this point was to go rebuild the temple. That's what they were told to do. Go rebuild the temple. And so that's going to give glory to God. The goal or the mission of the people who wanted to be obedient to God was pretty clear. If you wanted to be obedient to God, your goal, your mission, what you were supposed to do, it's pretty clear to the people. Rebuild his temple. The Lord made it clear through prophets like Haggai that the remnant was to rebuild the temple. God is communicating with us today through the minor prophet, and his exhortation is still clear. It is to build his temple. The Lord wants a temple built. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19. Better get my cell phone out of my pocket here. It's the only way I can keep my time. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." The Lord desired a place for his name to dwell. The place that God really wanted to dwell was not a physical location. Rather, God wants to dwell within his spiritual temple. And the Lord's church is built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, and the foundation is the apostles and prophets. The Lord's church is established, and it's really important that we build upon the foundation that has already been established. There's one Lord. There's one church. There's one foundation. See, there's a lot of churches that take that name. But scripturally, there's one church, right? So just because somebody takes the name doesn't make it so. It's absolutely important, essential, that we build upon the rock solid foundation, or our building will not stand. We really won't be working on His temple. And any construction of our own is not worth building. If we aren't building on the only cornerstone and solid foundation, then that's not the temple that the Lord is looking for. And so we want to do that with our contacts as well. We got to start them at a very foundational level. I've been on the college campuses, and there isn't the belief in the Bible that I believe them, that they say used to be there. It's not there. So you got to prove it. You got to start with proving it. Because you jump into God's plan of salvation, they might say, sure, your book says that, but what's your book worth? See, a lot of the people that I work with, immersion for the forgiveness of sins and gift of the Holy Spirit is no problem. That's not an issue. The Bible clearly says that. It's no problem at all. You got to get them to the point where they believe the Bible. You don't get them to the point where you believe the Bible. You can get them riled up into an emotional state, show them what the Bible says that, get them dunked, and what's the point? It's not that hard to do. But what are we building? See, we're building upon the foundation. And that's why using things like Luke's pre-proof study and then going right into proof that the Bible is the Word of God, where we have to start. Where we got to start. Super important. We need to advance the building of the temple. You know, this is an exciting time in history. It really is. This is really exciting. I am excited to be born when I was born. I'm excited. We're in the middle of a spiritual revolution. There's no greater time in history to be than right now. I mean, I am pumped up about where we're at. I'm excited to see the advancement, the next step that we're going to take. The stage has been set through history. The references have been made to the restoration movement. But the preaching of the power of the gospel has been restored to it. And now, the question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the power that has been restored? Something that one man said should have never been lost. It was referenced last night. The Lord is building His temple. We're His workers. The Lord wants His temple to be built. That's going to give glory to God. Ultimately, as Christians, what's the reason for our existence? Give glory to God, right? Well, we want to do what's going to give glory to God. Turn with me, if you would, to Haggai. You know, I thought I was in the clear. Mr. Miller got done, and Mr. Luke was right after him. And he was preaching about parables of the kingdom there and that sort of thing. And very end of his sermon, what's he do? He turns to Haggai chapter 1. Man, I thought he already trampled everything. I guess Luke had to finish it off. So Haggai chapter 1 and verse 8. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Bring the wood, so that I may be pleased with it and be glorified. What is it that's going to What is it that's going to bring glory to Jesus today? Yeah. I think those immersions last night brought some glory to Jesus. What do you think? You know, I think that to have his kids and join heirs completing his purpose brings glory to Jesus. What do you think? Let's go to Luke chapter 19. I know this audience is familiar with it. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Where the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Do we realize, church, that as plainly as the Lord stated in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 8, that He wanted the temple built, that He has stated to us that He wants the temple built. It's just as clear that that's what's going to give Him glory. We get the wood, that it might be, that it might bring glory to my name, says the Lord. He's working together with us to get His purpose accomplished. See, the people could be assured that God would bless their work and be with them if they would just do as He asked. Go back to Haggai chapter 1. You might want to mark it there. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13. This is really neat. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. And then turn over just one page to chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made when you came out of the land of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. These are promises. These are great promises. It'd be great if we had some promises that were similar, huh? I mean, you're one of the people there rebuilding the temple. I'm sure that this gave you strength. You were excited. You knew the Lord was with you. Well, this is a smart audience. We know. We know that we have the promises. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. You know, it would be really nice to have the promise that the Lord is with us. That would be super fantastic. That would be encouraging. That would give us strength to know that the Lord is with us. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All right. I guess we have that promise. I guess that is super encouraging. I guess we do have that strength. Philippians chapter 1. Because it would be neat to have the encouragement from our Lord Himself that we should take courage and not fear. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Where did that courage come from? It came from the Lord, didn't it? And it came from seeing what Paul was going through and seeing how the Lord was empowering Paul. It's pretty cool to have the promise that God and the encouragement from the Lord, take courage. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I've got you. I'm standing there. I'm strengthening you. Rebuild my temple. Rebuild my temple. Just do what I want you to do. You know, and it'd be pretty cool if the Lord was in our midst, wouldn't it? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, we know what the promise here is. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 19, another really familiar passage of Scripture. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? The Lord is a little bit more than in our midst. The encouragement's a little bit greater than just this, I am in your midst. The Lord is in us and empowering us and giving us that extra, as Mr. Luke was talking about. You're pushing that up there and He's supplying. You're giving 100% of your effort and He's spotting you. Make sure that you get that done. We're the ones with the great promises. See, really, who's the mission more clear to? The guys in the minor prophets, rebuild my temple? Or us today? In the greatest time in history, I think. No, the mission's more clear to us. It's more clear to us. Who has the greater promises? Well, that's not even close, right? See, you are the ones with the Spirit and power of Christ in you. That's a lot greater than the Spirit and power of Elijah. We want to give honor and glory to the name of Jesus, and we will accomplish this by building His temple. Take courage and work, for I am with you. The Lord wants His temple built to bring glory to His name. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. And coming to Him as a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice cornerstone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in Him shall not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this becomes the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's a holy temple of the Lord. It says, holy nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. God's people are to be holy. They are being built into His dwelling. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 1 Peter 2, 9 that we looked at just now, that's a holy nation. A holy nation. God has saved you from your sins to make us a people that is holy and righteous. He didn't save us from our sins to continue in our sins. That wouldn't make any sense. His temple, the Lord's temple, the temple that we're interested in building, is made up of saints, not sinners. As God's people, we are the ones that fulfill Romans 8, 3 and 4. Let's go there. Happened to hustle through these a little bit, but we'll make it. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We know what that is, don't we? Righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, you going to do that by keeping the law? Not going to work, is it? It's not how Jesus kept it, was it? See, we are the ones who are transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. Okay, a holy nation is the type of nation that the temple is comprised of. We are the ones who are in the temple, who worship in spirit and in truth. You know, it was brought out in Mr. Miller's message that those who are in the temple worship. They do that. And you know what? Those who have the Spirit and are renewing are transformed. They're transformed. See, as spiritual revolutionaries that are comprising the temple, you are the ones that are perfect in conscience. They're perfect in conscience. Last night, they come up out of that water. What do they got? Perfection of conscience. Renewing work of the Holy Spirit within us. What's one of the things that that does? Keeps that conscience clean, right? Conscience continues to stay clean. That's not a one-time, you know, John's baptism sort of a deal. We got the continuing work of the Spirit that's keeping us having a clean conscience. Now, that's pretty exciting, because that clean conscience will result in a change in character. The temple of the Lord is a holy temple. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We're a holy nation. We are making up this temple as the Lord's holy nation. The Lord wants His holy nation to bring glory to His name by building His temple. That's what the Lord wants done. The instructions are clear. And He wants us to be His holy people. They're bringing glory to His name by building the temple. We need to build where we're at. Build where we're at. See, this temple isn't a physical temple, and so it's not limited by physical means. And the temple is being built by the Lord's church as a whole. We're all working together to get this job done. We are the team that is accomplishing God's purpose. You know, God generally has us where He wants us. Generally, God has us exactly where He wants you. See, it's not a matter of location. It's necessarily really important to God, but rather it's a matter of motivation. It's not so much location, but how much are we really motivated? Now, if you're from Billings, Montana, and maybe used to have a last name of Simpson, location might be kind of important. But and maybe then you should be moving east. But unless that's the case, usually God has you exactly where He wants you. You know? Can't work with your local congregation? Can't work with your local congregation? Maybe we need to work on ourselves. Maybe it's important that we work on ourselves. You know, it's interesting.
I've been there. You're kind of wondering exactly why things are maybe exactly the way they are. I remember a specific situation. I didn't clear this with him if I talk about it, so he can just be mad at me for the next 26 hours in the car if he wants to. That's okay. I do the majority of the driving, so. I remember a specific situation where a gentleman who was not faithful to the assembly at all came into a men's meeting, and he had talked to my dad, and they had gone through some things, and there was a plan that they were working on. And, he was just kind of talking about how he wanted to bring his guitar up and how he wanted to sing and, you know, do all this stuff. And, you know, he just kind of let it be. And I heard that, and I'm like, man, I know that's not the direction that we want to be going in. I know that this isn't necessarily what we want to do. We certainly don't want this guy up front. Don't want to be singing these, you know, praise and worship songs. But so I was kind of fired up, you know. I was, what are you doing, Dad? He talked to you beforehand. Why are you letting him talk like that in the men's meeting? What are you doing? He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's going to blow over. It's going to blow over. You know what? Blew over. You know what? He wasn't up there once. He never brought his guitar. Never happened. Blew over. But I thought, I know what's going on here. I got this figured out. This is not what we want to be doing. I didn't know everything I thought I knew, did I? How many of us find ourselves in a situation where maybe we don't know everything we thought we knew? Yeah, work on ourselves, because generally God has you exactly where He wants you. You know, maybe He has you where you're at because there's something that you're supposed to learn. You know, maybe He has you exactly where you're at because there's something that you're supposed to be bringing to that local congregation. Well, maybe He has you exactly where you're at because you're supposed to be transforming that local congregation. You think the local congregation... These Billings guys, you know, I don't know. There's a fine line between limited government and anarchy. And I'm just wondering. Just wondering. There we go. Yes, that's what they do. That's right. The Lord has Josh Kelly exactly where He wants him. You think the local congregation, you think they lack love? Maybe you're supposed to be supplying more love. Who are you showing love to? It's pretty easy to look at the next guy and say, they're not showing enough love. Generally, people are complaining about love. I don't see them loving a lot of people. Just what I've observed. Are you bringing the love? What about excitement, man? The local assembly is dull. I wasn't referring to Wasion either. Local assembly is dull. Yeah, I've heard that before, right? What are you bringing? What's the excitement that you're bringing to the local congregation? How are you transforming the local congregation? Bring the excitement. Bring it. Bring it in your lives. Bring it in your studies. Bring it in your local assemblies. People want to be where the excitement is. You know, we've got this little ankle biter that, I'm not going to lie, I like him. I could pass him off as my wife's dog, and he does listen to my wife better than he listens to me. But we got this little ankle biter, and, you know, he's an all right dog. And he goes in his cage, and he's really excited about going in his cage because he's motivated, because every time he goes in his cage, he gets a bone. So we tell him cage, and I mean, he just takes off into that cage and, you know, waits expectantly. And but when there's something going on outside of his cage and he can see it, he wants to be out. He wants to be out of that cage. He wants to see what's going on and be in the middle of the action. You know, he usually places himself right between me and Brenna. So if she's in the kitchen and I'm in the living room, he's in the doorway. I mean, he wants to be able to look at both of us. And if he's in that cage and something is going on, he's going to start barking. He's going to start getting really antsy and pacing around in his cage and that sort of thing. Well, it got me to think, you know, when there's excitement going on, people want to be outside of their cages. They want to see what the excitement is all about. See, there's lots of people that are in all sorts of different cages. You know? They've got all sorts of different addictions. They've got all sorts of different difficult family situations. They've got bad financial decisions that their cages got them locked in. Are they seeing the excitement from us? That we're excited to be out of our cage? If they see that, you know what they're going to want? They're going to want out too. They want a part of that. They want to be where the action is. They want to be where the action is. They want to be the excitement, where the excitement is. Use what you're excited about and interested in to throw the bait out. Throw it out. Use what you're excited in. We're all made very different for a reason and for a purpose. And you can be effective with certain individuals that I might not be able to be effective with. Yeah, it's just the way it is. I think about Jared Schaefer in the scientific creation class. Man, that is stuff I have to work on. I mean, I have to listen to it and listen to it again and go over the slide notes and then go to Answers in Genesis and then to go to the Apologetics Press website. That is not stuff that I'm really, but I need to know it. I got to know it. I want to be effective. The people that I'm studying with prove that the Bible is the Word of God, and they got more questions about creation. Who needs to know that? Does it matter that maybe that's not my cup of tea? My cup of tea is giving glory to Jesus. So I'm going to find a way to get the job done. Use what you're excited about, though. Use the bait, okay, that's easy for you to cast out. And maybe if there's a question you can't answer, you can point them to somebody that can. You can talk to that person that can. You can throw the bait out where you're at. Use what you're excited about. The people that know me know that I get pretty excited about this Ron Paul revolution. I get pretty excited. I mean, you couldn't tell, of course. I don't like to mix religion and politics at all here. I get excited about the Ron Paul Revolution and the Liberty Movement. I do. You know, it's important that we continue to be educated in liberty and against tyranny. Because really, we're looking for truth seekers in all areas, right? You're a truth seeker. It's not just one section of your life here and. But you know what? There's a greater revolution than the Ron Paul revolution. The Ron Paul revolution doesn't have anything on the spiritual revolution. The spiritual revolution is here, and we are here to build the temple. Use what you're interested in. Use what you're excited about. God will use you if you make yourself available to Him. And He will use us in conjunction with the rest of the temple, known as His body, to accomplish His goal and His purpose in seeking and saving the lost. The Lord wants us to bring glory to His name by building the temple where we're at. Need to get the study. Need to keep the study. We need to expand the study. I heard somebody say that once. We all need to be continually looking for the prospective precious stones that still need to be added to the temple. We need to have a mindset of evangelism and continually be doing the work of the Lord. We need to continually do the work and prove ourselves to be effective workmen. There is no retirement plan for the Lord's church. Everyone is responsible for doing their part and getting the work done. It's a teamwork. Support your fellowship groups. You know, you saw the camp video last night? Send your kids to camp. It's important. See, there are brothers and sisters, and we're here to help one another accomplish the purpose that God has for us in building His temple. As a team, we are pulling in the direction. We're giving in the same direction. We're giving glory to God. It's our job to figure out how we can be most effective. It's important that we coordinate with our team captains or local evangelists to make sure that our plans and ideas fit with the overall direction that that congregation is going in. That's important. Because again, we don't always know everything we think we know. You know what's always in the game plan, though? Getting, keeping, and expanding Bible studies with your own contacts. Getting, keeping, expanding Bible studies with your own contacts is always in the game plan. Our enemy has coordinated forces. Our forces need to be coordinated as well. Be a team player. Work. Work at the work that we've been given. There's lots of different examples that we can go into. You know, we run the fellowship group, and there's four of us that are the core there. But you know what? There's a lot of other people that make that happen. You know, it's important those kids have something to drink when they're there. It's important that my mom and dad leave. Okay, so it's important that they go somewhere else. We use their house. They go somewhere else every Friday night just for us. So we appreciate that. You know, no, but seriously, people are willing to have 18 kids come into their house, have a pool party, tramp water all over their place. Who knows what's going to get broke? And you're willing to do that for the kingdom? You don't think that takes sacrifice? You don't think that takes teamwork? You know, there's a guy that I work with. Well, I used to work with at the car wash. You know, he can fix anything, and it's really great because I can break anything. So, we're a really good team there. And so he can fix anything. You know what? I try and help him fix stuff. And I don't really get the praise or the glory or excited when something gets fixed. But I can go get the hammer. I can supply the pop for fellowship, if that's my role. Or pick up kids for fellowship and drop them off and take them back. If that's my role. See, God wants His holy nation to bring glory to His name by seeking and saving the lost where you're at and thereby building the temple. Now's the time. Now's the time. A lot of stuff's happened over the past year. It really has. And Mr. Wilson was bringing that out last night. You know, just for those of you who think that we're crazy conspiracy nuts, look up the name Brandon Raub. R-A-U-B. Look up the National Defense Authorization Act. Maybe Anwar al-Awlaki and his 16-year-old United States citizen son. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in the past year. You know, Obamacare. Lots of stuff that's going on. Is that going to stop us? Is that going to stop us? What's going to stand in our way? Haggai might ask, is it going to be paneled houses? Food that won't satisfy? Drink that won't satisfy? Maybe it's Federal Reserve notes that lose their value. Well, it's hard to lose something you don't have, isn't it? Building the temple of the Lord is the only thing worth investing in. It has great returns. My last scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 1. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Commit to build the temple of the Lord. How will you commit? It's something you got to figure out. Something you got to figure out, just like, how will you be effective? How will you be most effective? But decide. Commit. And succeed. The Lord wants His holy nation to build His temple by seeking and saving the lost today. 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 So my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, is take courage. For the Lord is with us. And God trusts us to get the job done. Build the temple of the Lord. Take courage, for the Lord is with us. Thank you.